Imagine a world where women repeatedly rose to supreme power, not as exceptions, but as guardians of order. In ancient Egypt, against all odds, in a deeply patriarchal society, women ascended to the highest position of god-king multiple times throughout its 3,000-year history. These weren't mere figureheads. They wielded genuine authority, commanded armies, built monuments, and steered the nation through crises. Yet their stories remain largely untold, their accomplishments erased or attributed to men. What made Egypt unique among ancient civilizations wasn't just its architectural marvels, but its willingness, even requirement, that women take power during times of dynastic vulnerability. Why would a patriarchal society repeatedly turn to female leadership? And what can these forgotten queens teach us about power, gender, and leadership today? Protected by natural barriers, Egypt developed a risk-averse society with few regicides. When divine kingship couldn't pass directly from father to son, women became essential succession protectors. Queens weren't threats to patriarchy, but its foundation. Mothers were least likely to compete with their sons, making them ideal temporary rulers during a male heir's minority. Female rulers typically governed alone for just 1 to 5 years without male companions, having already failed to produce sons. Egyptians consistently chose direct royal daughters over capable related men, prioritizing divine lineage over reproduction. This uniquely Egyptian solution allowed elite families to gather political support while containing succession crises. While these women wielded real authority, they remained pawns in a patriarchal system, serving as placeholders for male rulers too young or not yet born. Their brief reigns provided time to reset political power while honoring Egypt's belief in divine royal blood. When their usefulness ended, they were often erased from official king lists, used when convenient for maintaining patriarchal succession, then discarded from historical records. When burying her husband, King Jet, Merneith ordered the sacrifice of 62 souls at Saqqara and 328 at Abydos. Unlike her father, who sacrificed mostly women, she eliminated male threats to her son Den's throne by sacrificing rival wives and their sons, a brutal but effective strategy. During her 6 to 8 year regency, Merneith established economic foundations through formal ceremonies like the first time for counting gold and the cattle census. Her influence persisted after Den reached adulthood, helping him become one of Egypt's greatest early kings. Upon her death, Den honored her with a king's burial at Abydos, including 41 sacrificial burials around her tomb and 79 more around her funerary enclosure. Archaeologists initially mistook her tomb for a king's due to its royal dimensions and placement among male rulers. She also received a second tomb at Saqqara with a solar boat burial, an honor typically reserved for kings. Despite preserving the dynasty, Merneith was erased from later king lists, her memory sacrificed to maintain the fiction of unbroken male rule. Hatshepsut stands exceptional among Egypt's female rulers. Unlike predecessors who seized power during crises, she emerged during Dynasty 18's prosperity. She served as regent for a boy, not her son, then ruled for over 2 decades, longer than any other female Egyptian leader. Hatshepsut proved highly successful, securing borders, enriching elites, building temples, and establishing valuable trade networks. As king, Hatshepsut balanced masculine leadership with feminine identity. She leveraged religious authority through public oracles and divine revelations to demonstrate heavenly endorsement. Her ambitious building program included the Red Chapel at Karnak, made of reddish-pink quartzite, which recorded her coronation and divine selection. When Thutmose III matured, Hatshepsut celebrated a jubilee to maintain dominance while acknowledging him. In festivals, both appeared together, sometimes as twins, though Thutmose III always followed her. After her death and royal burial, Thutmose III began a campaign roughly 25 years later to erase her from monuments, smashing statues and chiseling away reliefs. Like many women throughout history, Hatshepsut's achievements were ultimately co-opted by her male successors. Nefertiti is renowned for her beauty, but she was also a steadfast leader who helped heal Egypt during its strangest period, receiving little credit for her political leadership. When her husband, Amenhotep IV, elevated the Aten above all other deities and became Akhenaten, Nefertiti's political position strengthened. At their new capital, Akhetaten, she was depicted at her husband's height or taller. Evidence suggests she transformed into co-king alongside Akhenaten, taking the name Ankh-Kheperuwe Nefer-Neferuaten, an extraordinary arrangement positioning her as co-ruler with her living husband. As their partnership faced mounting crises, three daughters died, Queen Tai passed away, and Egypt lost Syrian territories, Nefertiti handled administrative duties while Akhenaten focused on religion. Following his death, she likely attempted to transition to sole ruler with Ai's help, who ultimately betrayed her dynasty by supporting Tutankhamun. It was Nefertiti who attempted to save Egypt from her husband's destructive religious experiment, representing female power that embraced reconciliation while transforming into a masculinized king. Cleopatra VII became Egypt's first female ruler in centuries, wielding comprehensive political, military, ideological, and economic power. Unlike her predecessors, she commanded armies and leveraged Egypt's agricultural wealth to influence Rome. Raised in a treacherous court marked by assassinations, Cleopatra developed exceptional strategic thinking. When her father died, her brother Ptolemy XIII's supporters moved against her. Her opportunity came when Pompey fled to Egypt after losing to Caesar. After her brother's fatal mistake of killing Pompey, Cleopatra smuggled herself into Alexandria to meet Caesar personally. Following the Alexandrian War and Ptolemy XIII's death, Cleopatra, now pregnant with Caesar's child, ascended the throne with her younger brother. Cleopatra's defeat ultimately stemmed from climate changes affecting Nile agriculture and her dependence on Rome's unstable politics. Despite her fall, her legacy endured as an Eastern hero against Roman domination, while her association with Isis helped spread that cult throughout the empire. Beyond Roman propaganda portraying her as a seductress, history remembers Cleopatra as both brilliant strategist and fierce defender of her people. The Egyptians valued qualities often dismissed today as feminine liabilities: emotionality, adaptability, nurturing capacity, recognizing them as leadership strengths, particularly during crises. Despite saving dynasties, many female pharaohs were either portrayed as failures or erased from history. Egyptians understood that men's emotional repression often manifests as violence, while women's emotional intelligence, caution, and bridge-building abilities prove essential in troubled times. Female pharaohs demonstrated distinctive leadership approaches, avoiding unnecessary conflicts, prioritizing family over self-interest, and governing pragmatically. Egyptian theology viewed divine kingship and queenship as complementary forces, celebrating female power when protecting family and dynasty, but rejecting it when disconnected from masculine authority. As we face mounting crises, climate change, political extremism, social division, these ancient queens offer valuable guidance. Their legacy suggests women's leadership isn't merely about equality, but survival. The supposedly feminine weaknesses, collaboration, emotional intelligence, long-term thinking, may be precisely what we need for our greatest challenges. The Egyptians understood this truth. In dire times, sometimes only a queen can save us.